Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We are looking at another hot day. We could hit 90 again this afternoon. I'll show you some showers and clouds. It'll cool us down for the weekend coming up.
This barricade surrounds the quad on UNC's campus this morning. Coming up, how the university is responding to security concerns after on-campus protests.
And the Carolina Hurricanes headed into the second round series in their quest for the Stanley Cup when they face the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. We are looking forward to that game. We will have when they will be on the ice for you. We're excited. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, we know the day. We don't know the time. But anytime. We'll take them anytime.
Anytime.
Don't care. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRAL Severe Weather Center right now. The blue sky is starting to creep through there, and the temperature's on the rise.
Yeah, take a live look here at Fenton and Cary. Blue sky with a little bit of cloud cover, and that's what we're going to see for most of the day. That additional cloud cover that we see today should keep our temperatures down just a little bit. Not going to be a lot, but we hit 92 yesterday. Our forecast high today is 90. It's already 71 in the triangle. We have a southwest wind. That's why our temperatures are so far above normal. Our normal high today is 78. We're looking at 90 degrees. Right now, 71 in Durham and Raleigh, 67 Fayetteville, 69 in Rocky Mount. So it's comfortable heading out the door right now. But we climb into the mid 80s by lunchtime and then late afternoon, 90 degrees. So it's definitely going to be a toasty one. Of course, we have a chance for rain over the weekend. We've been talking about this approaching front. Scattered showers and thunderstorms Saturday and Sunday. Not a washout either day, but I will walk you through the timeline coming up on Futurecast in just a few minutes, Ken.
Elizabeth, all new here in the WRAL Traffic Center. We're just getting word of that crash that happened in I-40 westbound near Highway 751. Right now, it doesn't appear to be that that crash is causing any traffic delays in that area, but you might see some police activity in that area. And if you do, you might want to slide over one lane just to give police officers in that area an opportunity to work that crash scene safely. The main story right now in the 8 o'clock hour, just the traffic that's building up on the Beltline. We can see a lot of bumper-to-bumper traffic, mainly brake tapping going on right there on the Beltline and the Capitol Boulevard over on the north side by Glenwood and Blue Ridge Avenue. You can see more brake tapping going on. The real troubled spot, though, is here on I-40 westbound near Jones Franklin Road. You see a lot of bumper-to-bumper traffic. That's really because of the user morning congestion that we're seeing. We're going to keep monitoring just in case there's something else happening. We'll keep you updated here in the WRAL Traffic Center.
All right, thank you, Ken. Students at UNC will notice some tall barriers on campus today. They've been put up to limit protests while we watch for another possible protest today. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey explains that this comes as students take their final exam.
Students will be walking past these barricades this morning as they're going to class to take their final exams. And just to put into perspective how high these barricades are, I'm about 5'3", and these barricades are just a few feet taller than me. And it wraps around about half a mile here on the quad. And this barricade was put up after protesters removed the American flag from the quad Tuesday, then replaced it with a Palestinian flag, causing the police to step in. The university closed the Campus Y building yesterday. It's a resource hub for students that includes a student-ran coffee shop. It also was the place where protesters stored many of their items.
The Y has been here for 160 years, and they also just do a lot of things for students. There's a food pantry in there.
The university says any protesters who may have lost items during the protest on Tuesday can come back to get them on campus today between 9 and 12. We're also seeing posts online about possible protests happening later this morning, so we'll be sure to stay on top of that and keep you updated. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Chapel Hill.
New this morning, investigators are working to learn what caused the fire that did some pretty major damage to a Fayetteville home. This fire broke out at a home on Trade Street about 12:45 this morning. Firefighters responded and were able to quickly put that fire under control. There are no reports of any injuries. A major road near Lewisburg is back open this morning after a crash left one person dead and another badly hurt. It was a two-car crash that happened on US 401 near Herman Kemp Boulevard. This was just before 9 last night, but the road was closed until after 1 this morning as crews worked to clear the scene. We're working to learn the names of the people involved.
A road in Raleigh is back open this morning after it was closed because of a gas leak. It happened on Park Drive between Groveland Avenue and Oberlin Road. This is video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. Dominion Energy responded to the leak, which was caused by a third party digging in that area.
New this morning, a memorial service is happening for the Charlotte police officer killed in Monday's shooting. Governor Roy Cooper plans to attend the service for Officer Joshua Iyer. Iyer is one of four law enforcement officers who died in the shooting. His service is scheduled for 10 this morning in Charlotte. It'll be streamed live online.
President Biden honored the officers killed in that Charlotte shooting during a visit to the state. He met with the families of the officers that were killed and injured in that shooting behind closed doors yesterday. President Biden also spoke to CPMD Chief Johnny Jennings on the tarmac for several minutes before getting into the motorcade. And Biden then traveled to Wilmington, where he announced $3 billion in federal funding to replace lead pipes nationwide. North Carolina will get about $76 million of that.
Also this morning, we will get some more information about the incident at Columbia University's Hamilton Hall. That is where an NYPD officer reportedly fired shots while trying to clear protesters out of that building. New York police will hold that news conference this morning. No one was injured out of this, but officials say the officer was trying to use a flashlight that was attached to his gun at the time. He instead, though, fired a single shot that hit the wall. Officials say there were officers, but no students in the immediate vicinity of that area at the time.
A major shakeup in what was expected to be a heated runoff election. Kelly Daughtry announced Thursday that she is dropping out of the Republican runoff for the newly drawn 13th congressional district. Daughtry is a Johnston County attorney, and she is now throwing her weight behind her former opponent, Brad Knott. In a statement, she said, quote, "In light of President Trump's endorsement of Brad Knott for the congressional seat in District 13, it has become clear that a pathway to victory is no longer feasible." Knott is now expected to face Democrat Frank Pierce in the November election.
New this morning, former North Carolina Senator Elizabeth Dole is one of 19 people who will be honored today with Presidential Medals of Freedom. Dole represented North Carolina in the Senate from 2003 to 2009. She also served as Secretary of Transportation, Secretary of Labor, and President of the American Red Cross. She's one of 19 people being honored by President Biden with the nation's highest civilian honor.
Honorees this year include Michael Bloomberg, talk show host Phil Donahue, civil rights activists Medgar Evers, Al Gore, John Kerry, Olympic champion Katie Ledecky, Nancy Pelosi, and Academy Award-winning actress Michelle Yeoh.
North Carolina dropped two spots in an annual teacher salary rankings, according to a report by the National Education Association. The group says North Carolina's average teacher salary is almost $13,000 below the national average. The group says the state now ranks 38th in the country when it comes to teacher pay.
We now know the first game of the second round series between the Hurricanes and the New York Rangers will be on Sunday. The Canes made the announcement on social media late last night. The time of the game has not been announced yet. All we know is that it's Sunday. Games 1 and 2 of the series will be at the iconic Madison Square Garden in New York.
And then they'll be right back here at PNC. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and pets are proven to reduce our stress. Coming up, we will hear from a veterinarian about how our furry friends improve our lives.
And Smithfield's Ham and Yam Festival kicks off tomorrow. What you need to know about this year's event and which of our WREL favorites, your favorites, will be there just ahead.
And I'm going to walk you through the weekend in terms of when we may see rain so you can plan around it. So many fun events happening this weekend. It's not going to be a washout. We'll check it out coming up.
Welcome back on your Friday morning. Time now is 8:11. This is a look over Wilson at the Whirly Gigs there. It's sunny today. A couple clouds in the sky. It's going to be warm, but we are expecting some rain to move in later tonight and for your weekend. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has a look around town. We'll take the sun today.
Yes, not bad out there. I mean, you know, a little bit of cloud cover will keep our temperatures down just a touch. We hit 92 yesterday, tied the record, first 90-degree day of the year. Probably going to hit 90 this afternoon. It's not going to be that much different, but definitely a little bit more cloud cover. Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And, of course, there's our newsroom right there in Fayetteville. some filtered sunshine out there with some high cloud cover tracking this cold front. And this front has a history of producing severe storms, even some flooding down in Texas. But once it moves across the mountains tonight and into the day tomorrow, it will be much weaker. And we're looking at just scattered rain. It's not going to be an all day rain. We're not going to see a big, a hefty line of thunderstorms that comes through. It's just going to be popping up here and there. So this is 6 a.m. Saturday. A few isolated showers pop up, especially it looks like it's going to be more like the triangle area westward for rain. If you're, you know, along the I-95 corridor, what we see Saturday is really, really limited. Again, most of that's going to be Raleigh westward with some isolated showers and thunderstorms. Same thing again on Sunday. It looks almost exactly the same. Some evening thunderstorms there on Saturday. We'll pause it there Sunday at 8 a.m. An isolated shower or two between, say, 10 and noon, and then some isolated thunderstorms that pop up later in the afternoon. We just looked at that. All right. So we are looking at a 50% chance of rain both Saturday and Sunday. Again, we need the rain. We take a look at our drought status. Last week, our viewing area was abnormally dry. And this week, it's almost a good chunk of the state. And so take a look here. You see the orange and yellow shaded areas? That's where we've only seen a 30 to 50% chance of our normal rainfall in the last 30 days. So we could use this rain Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 50 to 60% chance, and then a small chance Tuesday and Wednesday. So the chances are there. But take a look at the potential for rainfall in terms of our totals. Saturday and Sunday combined, probably going to be a quarter of an inch to a half an inch. That's not a lot for the 2 days combined. So that should let you know that it truly is going to be scattered. Hammond Yam Festival Saturday, I wouldn't necessarily let this scare you away. Again, 20 to 40% chance as we get into the afternoon. Take along an umbrella, hide in a tent for a little bit if you have to, but it's not going to be a complete washout. Kentucky Derby, same thing. 50% chance for showers and thunderstorms here. Louisville, just a 20% chance that there shouldn't be a rain out. But I know a lot of people have derby parties too on Saturday. Again, you know, a little bit of shelter to get out of a shower or thunderstorm, you should be all good. Look at that, 94. We just hit 92 yesterday. More 90s in the forecast for next week, Ken.
Elizabeth, 90s in May, way too soon. Checking traffic this morning. All new in the WRO Traffic Center. We just got reports of this crash here in the eastbound lanes of I-40 just north of Chapel Hill. You can see it's causing some bumper-to-bumper traffic in that area. We're looking to get some more information about that. As soon as we do, we'll let you know, especially if you're heading into the capital city. We continue to monitor this crash in the westbound lanes there on I-40. This is near Highway 751. Right now, it's not causing any major delays in that area, but you might see some law enforcement activity in that particular part of the I-40 westbound. So just keep that in mind. We're continuing to monitoring all the traffic that's building up this morning on the Beltline. 15 minutes ago, there's a lot of bumper-to-bumper traffic in that area as well. But the trouble spot mainly is right here around Jones Franklin Road, I-40 westbound. This is usually part of the morning congestion that we see this time during this time of the morning. But so keep that in mind if you're about to head out. We can always keep you updated on the radio, 99.3 FM in Raleigh and 96.5 FM in Durham.
The Durham Fire Department is hiring. They have opened applications for entry-level positions through May 19th. You don't need experience, and training at the academy is paid. Chief Bob Zaldo says it's a great way to serve the Bull City community, and the pay is likely to improve.
The City Council is right now considering a really nice pay raise for our members, and if it passes and a recruit graduates from recruit school, they'll be making $51,559 as of May of next year when this school graduates.
And the department says they expect to hire certified and lateral firefighters in the midsummer as well.
We've learned a loose bolt and other improperly installed hardware caused a TV news helicopter to crash in Charlotte 2 years ago. This is according to a report from the NTSB. Pilot Chip Tayag and WBTV meteorologist Jason Myers died in the crash. The helicopter was owned by Metro Networks Communications and operated by Total Traffic Weather Network. WRL reached out to both companies and to WBTV for a response to the findings in the report. We haven't heard back yet.
An aviation worker who went public with concerns about Boeing 737 MAX planes has died. He's the second Boeing whistleblower to die in recent weeks. Joshua Dean died earlier this week after multiple diagnoses, including the flu, pneumonia and MRSA. The 45-year-old was a former quality auditor for a Boeing supplier. He alleged that managers failed to act on manufacturing defects on 737 MAX planes. He was let go last year in what he called an act of retaliation. His death comes after another Boeing whistleblower died by suicide in March.
One person is dead, another is critically injured after a house explosion in New Jersey. This happened in a neighborhood near Newark around 7 last night. Authorities say a retired police officer was killed, and the person injured is believed to be his son. The house was totally leveled by that blast, with debris thrown all around that cul-de-sac there, and the entire neighborhood had to be evacuated as the investigation continues.
A $64 billion merger between ExxonMobil and Pioneer Natural Resources has been given the go-ahead. The Federal Trade Commission approved the deal as long as the Pioneer's former CEO does not serve on Exxon's board of directors. The FTC alleges that he exchanged information with OPEC officers about limiting oil supplies in order to control oil prices. Exxon agreed to the FTC's terms.
iPhone users are sounding off about the alarm clock. Now, a lot of users are sounding off on social media saying they have overslept because they're just not hearing the alarm. Apple says it is working to fix this issue, but it's not sure how many people are affected. In the meantime, the company says turning off the attention aware feature has helped with the alarm clock issue. The feature allows an iPhone to check whether someone is looking at their device, and if they are, the phone will lower the sound of alerts. Busy, busy weekend around the Triangle for festivals and lots of fun.
Yeah, let's start with a food festival that's all about ham and yams, Jeff. The Smithfield Ham and Yam Festival kicks off tomorrow at 10 a.m. There will be live music, amazing food, lots of ham and yams, and local artists and vendors. If you're planning on checking out the festival, stop by the WREL tent. Ken Smith, Gerald Owens, and I will be there. WREL is a proud community partner.
And tonight and tomorrow, you can watch Luke Skywalker face off against Darth Vader on the big screen with live music accompanying it. There it is, just a little preview of what you'll hear if you head out to see the North Carolina Symphony perform John Williams' score from Star Wars Return of the Jedi. It's happening tonight and tomorrow night at May Mandy Concert Hall in Raleigh. So they play the music with the symphony, with the symphony behind it with the music, and tickets are still available.
And a Raleigh native coming back home to perform this weekend, Priscilla Block, will hit the stage tomorrow night at the Ritz. This show is the last one of her Hey Jack tour. Tickets are still available. They start at $22.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and a mood booster may be closer than you think. Experts say our pets have a positive impact on our wellness and mental health. Christina Coleman explains the specific benefits.
The majority of pet owners feel their animals are part of their family, but they don't just provide unconditional love and companionship.
There was a recent study that just came out that said 84% of American pet parents actually say that their pet really brings a positive mental health impact to their life.
Our four-legged friends play a vital role in stress management.
Pets will lower your blood pressure and decrease cortisol, which is a stress hormone. Now, that's really key to mitigating those long-term chronic stress issues.
Veterinarian Dr. Daniel Bernal says there are other benefits as well, including helping us socialize and making sure we stay active. Statistics show dog parents walk about 22 more minutes per day than non-pet owners.
That's great for your physical well-being, but it's also really important to your brain function, your self-esteem, and of course your overall well-being. But that's key not only for mild stress, but also for depression and post-traumatic stress disease. All of those situations have been shown to be improved by having that pet with us.
Animals can have a positive impact on people of all ages, from helping children gain confidence to keeping some senior citizens busy. And if you're already one of the 66% of American households that has a pet, you know it can be stressful. But Dr. Bernal says the benefits can outweigh the burdens.
For most pet parents, they see that relationship with pet and themselves as a partnership. So it really delivers great added benefits for them overall.
That was Christina Coleman reporting, and Dr. Bernal says spending time with other people's pets can also improve your mental health, so you don't have to own one.
I agree. I love my little bird. And you love your dog. All right, well, North Carolina First Lady Kristen Cooper has received a special award. Last night, she was honored with the Hope Center's Bridge of Hope Award for her longtime commitment to helping foster youth. The center helps foster children navigate the transition to adulthood. It serves foster teens ages 13 to 18 and young adults ages 18 to 24 who have aged out of the foster care system. Elizabeth Gardner emceed that event.
Well, get your mint juleps and horse bets ready. Tomorrow's the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. The Run for the Roses has been held at Churchill Downs in Louisville every year since 1875. The record for the fastest Derby time ever is still held by Secretariat. That was set in 1973. Mage won last year's race. You can watch the most exciting 2 minutes in sports on WRAL. We will have coverage from 2:30 in the afternoon until 7:30 after the race.
If you are a healthcare worker, thank you for what you do. And Chipotle wants to give you a free lunch. Chipotle is honoring 100,000 healthcare workers with gift cards for free burritos. You can go to healthcare.chipotle.com and enter for a chance to win one. If you win and you verify your status as a healthcare worker, you'll get your online gift card on May 13th. Well, you are taking a live look at the Peace and Justice Plaza just outside of UNC Chapel Hill's campus as protesters are beginning to show up there. We'll check in on the campus after the university stepped in to put up barricades and close a campus building.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Friday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We are in for another summer-like day today. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has a look over Apex. Some clouds in the sky, but it's feeling warm out there.
It is. Temperatures mid-60s to around 70 right now. We take a live look at Apex. A little bit of cloud cover here, just enough to keep our temperatures maybe a couple of degrees cooler than yesterday. Yesterday we hit 92, looking at 90 for today. First 90-degree day of the year. 68 in Lewisburg, 67 Irwin, 70 right now in Goldsboro, looking at 90 degrees. Mid to late afternoon. You're walking the dog this evening. Still going to be warm in the mid-80s. Ken?
Elizabeth, we continue to monitor a crash that happened. It's in the last half hour. On the eastbound lanes near Strayhorn Lane. This is north of Chapel Hill, west of Durham. You can see it's causing quite a bit of bumper-to-bumper traffic in that area. That gave us an opportunity to check to see exactly what kind of delays we're looking at. That crash is going to cause you about 16 minutes of delay time coming into the Bull City for using northbound 85 coming in from Hillsboro. You're running into a four-minute delay if you're coming in from Creedmoor Road to Highway 98. And, of course, you're running into an eight-minute delay if you're using westbound lanes to try to get into the Bull City.
And we'll take you live out. This is a look at the Peace and Justice Plaza outside UNC Chapel Hill's campus as protesters are beginning to show up there. This comes as the university put up new barricades on campus. A half-mile-long fence now sits around the flagpole on campus, the site of Tuesday's pro-Palestinian protest. We'll have the latest coverage of this over on Fox 50. Also next on Fox 50, what we know about a crash that left one person dead and another badly hurt in Lewisburg. And coming up next on today, John Legend and Chrissy Teigen live in Studio 1A.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Could be 90 degrees again this afternoon, but the weekend looks cooler. I'll show you when the clouds and the rain roll in.
And we are following breaking news. Protesters are gathering near UNC's campus. The demonstration that is happening right now, just days after police cleared an encampment there on campus.
Plus, flooding and several tornadoes spawned in Texas. And now some communities there are under a disaster declaration. You can see why, as people were forced out of their homes. Some of those tornado pictures look almost unreal.
It looks
fake. Out of a movie.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for staying with us here at 8:30.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. We're going to start with weather here locally. Mm-hmm. Another warm day, hot day for us. Summer-like day. Elizabeth, it's going to be 90s today.
Yeah, we had our first 90-degree day of the year at RDU yesterday. We hit 92, and we tied the previous record. We'll be maybe a couple degrees below that, but still, you know, aiming at 90 today. The difference is going to be the cloud cover. You can see some clouds here in Sanford. We're looking at that across the viewing area right now. Just might hold our temperatures down a little bit. All this heat is coming due to our southwesterly wind at 6 miles per hour right now. It's been pumping the warmth and a little bit of moisture in for the last several days. 71 is our temperature now, so we're warming up pretty quickly. Still a lot of 60s on our map. 69, Rocky Mount, Wilson, Goldsboro, 65, Southern Pines, 63, and Roxboro. Hour by hour, mid-80s by lunchtime, so it's a fast warm-up, and we hit 90 degrees for this afternoon. Now, today stays nice and dry, but tomorrow we're watching the potential for some showers and thunderstorms. It will not be an all-day rain Saturday or Sunday. Coming up, I'll walk you through the timeline. It does look like that rain chance continues into early next week, and we could definitely use the rain. Ken?
832, Elizabeth. It appears here in the traffic center, the major thoroughfares in Durham and Orange counties appear to be the troubled spots this morning, particularly this crash we've been following here on the eastbound lanes of I-40 near Strayhorn Lane. It's causing some bumper-to-bumper traffic in that area. So we wanted to give you an idea of what you could be facing if you're heading into the Bull City from anywhere in that area. It's causing a 13-minute delay if you're coming in from Hillsborough on I-85 North in that section of town. If you're navigating, getting into the Bull City out of the I-40 westbound lanes, you're looking at an 8-minute delay. Other major routes this morning, virtually delay-free.
With breaking news we're following in just the last 30 minutes, protesters started gathering near UNC's campus. WRL's Sean Gallagher is at the Peace and Justice Plaza. Sean, a couple dozen people out there. This scene has changed in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's for sure. They just started this rally here behind me, and it is growing minute by minute. You can take a look here. There are dozens, if not almost probably 100 people that are here for this protest very early on a Friday morning. And, you know, the juxtaposition of the people who are here who are pro-Palestine trying to get their message heard, and then there's still students headed to class. We actually saw a number of students in their cap and gowns trying to get photos taken. But this is the scene on campus where the protest took place earlier this week. You can see barricades were put up after protesters removed the American flag from the quad on Tuesday, replacing it with a Palestinian flag. That caused police to step in. A lot of turmoil through that. Now, the university closed the Campus Y building yesterday, a resource hub for students that includes a student-ran coffee shop. It's also a place where protesters stored many of their items, and the university says protesters who lost their items on Tuesday can come to campus and get them sometime between 9 and 12 today. Now, back out here live, you can see a lot of people gathering here. The speech has been going on for about 5 minutes, sending the message that everyone here is in here in support of Palestine and the genocide happening there. We'll continue to gather as much as we can and bring you information throughout the day. But for now in Chapel Hill, Sean Gallagher, WRAL News.
And here in the WRAL Live Center, I want to show you the exact location where today's protest is taking place, where Sean was, in relation to the protests that we saw earlier this week. So today's protest is on that Peace and Justice Plaza on the corner of Franklin Street and Henderson Street. That's Town of Chapel Hill property. And then you see over here in the middle of your screen, that's where the old well is, McCorkle Place, that quad. Then the South Building, that's where the Chancellor works, South Building. And then the main quad, where those barricades are set up, Polk Place and the flagpole where protesters had taken down the U.S. flag, put up the Palestinian flag, and then later the U.S. flag was restored there. That was where protesters had set up their encampment. That's about a 6-minute walk from where the Peace and Justice Plaza is. It's interesting to note that at today's protest, where it is on Franklin Street, if police response is needed, that would be Town of Chapel Hill police responding and not necessarily UNC campus police.
Something that we will be following very closely. Thanks, Renee. And new this morning, investigators working to learn the cause of a fire that caused major damage to a Fayetteville home. The fire broke out at a home on Trade Street about 12:45 this morning. Responding firefighters were able to quickly bring that fire under control. There are no reports of any injuries. And a major road near Lewisburg back open this morning after a crash that left one person dead and another badly hurt. That two-car crash happened here on U.S. 401 near Herman Kemp Boulevard. Happened just before 9 o'clock last night. The road was closed until after 1 o'clock this morning as crews worked to clear that scene. We are working to learn the names of the people involved.
This morning, a memorial service is happening for the Charlotte police officer killed in Monday's shooting. Governor Roy Cooper plans to attend that service for Officer Joshua Iyer. Iyer is one of four law enforcement officers killed in that shooting. His service is scheduled for 10 o'clock this morning in Charlotte, and it will be streamed live online.
And a memorial service for Officer Alden Elliott will be held next week. His body was escorted from Charlotte to Catawba County, where his family lives, yesterday. He was a Marine and served 14 years with the North Carolina Department of Adult Correction. He is survived by his wife and 12-year-old son.
A bill that will force North Carolina sheriffs to cooperate with immigration officials is closer to becoming law. That bill is moving to the House for a final vote after the state Senate approved it yesterday. It requires sheriffs to check the immigration status of anyone charged with a violent crime and honor voluntary ICE detainers for 48 hours. It also gives the state attorney general the power to enforce the law.
New this morning, police cleared out protesters from Millar Library on Portland State University's campus this morning. Pro-Palestinian protesters occupied that library on Monday, and the school says the library will be closed for several months because of the damage that was caused there. That includes broken computers and furniture, and the fire alarm system also destroyed. And police also say that they have detained the driver who accelerated toward protesters at Portland State. The driver stopped before hitting anyone and ran off, spraying what appeared to be some sort of pepper spray toward protesters. Demonstrators then badly damaged that car, smashing windows and spray painting graffiti on it.
Former President Donald Trump's hush money trial continues today in New York. Yesterday, jurors saw a lot of new evidence to consider. Keith Davidson appeared again as a witness yesterday. He was the lawyer for Stormy Daniels, who negotiated her hush money deal. Jurors were played audio recordings of phone calls between Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, and others, including Davidson. Davidson testified he never dealt directly with Trump, only Michael Cohen. Cohen is expected to take the stand later in the trial.
Today, former U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch will deliver the keynote address at North Carolina Central School of Law hooding ceremony. She was the first African-American woman to hold the post. Today's ceremony is at 4 p.m. And it's also a big day for thousands of students at East Carolina University. That university is holding its spring commencement today. It's at 10 o'clock at the Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. New York Giants head athletic trainer Ronnie Barnes will be the keynote speaker there.
Here's some wild video out of a Raleigh neighborhood. A coyote runs out of the woods and starts chasing a small dog. Thankfully, that dog was able to get away. Wildlife experts say this is a reminder to keep an eye on your pets when you let them outside. The dog's owner says she stepped outside to get a package Thursday morning, and that's when she saw the coyote chasing after her dog. She screamed, and that startled the coyote and caused it to run away.
I would have sprinted after that thing, but it's so fast. I mean, luckily my dog didn't run too far and have it continue to chase him.
Send his German Shepherd friend out after that one. Wildlife experts say coyotes are more likely to be found in very wooded areas, but they can be anywhere, and they're more likely to target the smaller dogs, so consider keeping them on a leash.
Severe weather spawned several tornadoes in Texas on Thursday. Look at this video. The tornadoes, along with strong winds and hail, caused damage to buildings in some areas of that state. The worst of the storms hit rural towns in the west central part of the state. There are no reports of any serious injuries. And flooding caused by the storm's heavy rainfall has some communities under a disaster declaration. This is video from Trinity County, which is north of Houston. People who live there needed to be evacuated from their homes because of that flooding. Rescue crews helped some people get out on boats.
We now know the first game of the second round series between the Hurricanes and New York Rangers will be played Sunday. The Canes made that announcement on social media late last night after getting word from the league. The time of the game has not yet been announced. Games 1 and 2, though, of this series will be on the road in New York's Madison Square Garden.
Well, coming up, an alarming number of guns have been found during TSA checkpoints. What's behind the increase in gun recoveries and why agents say it's not an excuse?
Plus, the WNBA is seeing an increase in ticket sales for regular season games. The rookies and returning stars it has to thank for that boost. And
As we head to break, we'll take you out to the Peace and Justice Plaza just outside of UNC Chapel Hill's campus. This is a live look there as protesters are showing up. WREL's Sean Gallagher is there. He'll have a live report coming up for us.
...844 the time right now as we welcome you back with these live pictures. Take you to the Peace and Justice Plaza just outside UNC Chapel Hill's campus. Protesters began showing up just about 30 to 45 minutes ago or so. It's an exam day on campus, and folks will be walking past some of the security fencing that has been put up. Not right at this site. We've been showing you that all morning. We've been on the site. Sean Gallagher's out there as well. We'll check back in with him in just a little bit. Right now, we'll take it over to Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. Your ride is waiting for you behind you there, Elizabeth.
There it is. Wait, stop. This is a view. Oh, there, now we can see it. This is a view from the Point Restaurant. And oftentimes, we see boats or jet skis all tied up there, especially in the summer months. And what a nice morning to be out on the water. You know, it is still early May, so the water temperature is still on the chilly side. But we're looking at a high of 90 again this afternoon. We had 92 yesterday, which tied the record. It's already 71. So feeling comfortable out there, a fast warm up into the mid 80s by lunchtime. Keep that in mind if you're planning to spend your lunch hour outside. The one thing that we are seeing with our temperatures climbing is an uptick in the humidity too, and I'll show you that in just a second. We've hit 70 now in South Hill, 69 in Rocky Mount and Goldsboro, 65 in Southern Pine. So we will warm up fast today, hitting 90 in Raleigh, Durham and Fayetteville. It's going to be a couple of degrees cooler than yesterday because of some additional cloud cover, and we can definitely see that in parts of the viewing area right now. Today stays dry. It's likely to be tomorrow before we end up with any scattered showers. We're going to walk through that coming up. Yeah, here comes that dew point. That dew point at 65 actually starts to put us into the steamy realm. And we all know what that means. It's been so comfortable. Even with highs in the mid to upper 80s, we've had comfortable feeling dew points or a fairly low amount of moisture in the atmosphere. That number is only going to climb over the next few days. So we're in the upper 60s. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it's going to feel steamy like it does during the summertime. We take a look at our heat risk map. Now, we have showers and thunderstorms in the forecast through Tuesday, but we're dry Wednesday. It is soon as it dries out and we see more sunshine, we have the potential for a moderate heat risk. This is a new product that you'll start to see more of this summer. It's coming from the National Weather Service, where it just kind of give us a heads up on when we may be seeing some heat that could cause problems. Saturday and Sunday, we're cooler with that chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be back into the low 80s. The cold front that's produced some severe storms to our west weakens after it crosses the mountains and just brings us some isolated showers and thunderstorms. Here's 6 a.m. on Saturday. You can see a few isolated showers there after lunchtime. A few scattered storms develop. Notice the coverage is not it's not widespread here with this. We'll see the same thing again on Sunday. There's 8 a.m. and an isolated shower pops up before lunchtime, and then maybe some more widespread storms on Sunday afternoon. Komen Race for the Cure is Saturday morning. Certainly there's a chance of an isolated shower, but there'll be a better chance for thunderstorms after lunchtime after the race is over. Highs in the low 80s through Monday, even Tuesday, before we hit that 95 on Wednesday.
TSA officials are urging people to check their carry-on luggage before they go through security. They say they have recovered an alarming number of guns. TSA screeners recovered 33 guns, and 32 of them were loaded so far this year at RDU checkpoints. While that number is up, TSA believes the increase in gun recoveries is because of an increase in overall traffic through the airport, and it's largely accidental cases here.
It always kind of perplexes us, too, that people say that they forgot the firearm is in there. We're going to be screening tons of passengers, so we're trying to get the word out that you can travel with a firearm. You just got to do it the right way.
Forgetting is not an excuse, so when you travel with a firearm, it has to be packed, unloaded gun, and hard-sided case declared with a ticket agent before you pass through security.
The Durham Public School System has named their Teacher of the Year. Hillside High School's First Sergeant Jeffrey Matthews was awarded the honor. Matthews is a retired Army veteran from Anger and is a Junior Reserve Officers Training Corps instructor. As Teacher of the Year, he received lots of goodies and was even surprised with a brand new car. So well deserved. Congratulations.
I-95 in Connecticut will stay closed for another few days after a fiery crash. A tanker truck filled with gas burst into flames in a crash that happened about 5:30 yesterday morning. Fortunately, no one was seriously hurt out of this, but the crash badly damaged a bridge over the interstate. Governor Ned Lamont says he hopes to reopen the interstate, I-95 there in Connecticut, by Monday morning.
Hurricanes coach Rod Brind'Amour says he wants to stay with the team long term. This says reports have surfaced saying that he may be looking for a new job as his contract is set to expire after this season. Brind'Amour spoke about his contract situation during a news conference yesterday. He said he fully expects to stay in Raleigh. He is working with general manager Don Waddell to make that all happen.
Yeah, I had a great conversation yesterday with Don and then again this morning, and I feel really good. Maybe we'll figure it out quickly, and I'm not concerned.
Waddell says that he believes Brind'Amour wants to be a Hurricane for life.
Speaking of Canes, goalie Frederik Andersen is among the top finalists for one of the top awards in pro hockey. Andersen is one of three players in the running finalists for the Bill Masterton Trophy. Every year, that award goes to the player who best exemplifies the qualities of perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to hockey. Andersen is in the running because he missed 49 games this year because of a blood clotting issue. They were really perplexed, didn't know if he'd be able to play again. He is now in the net for the Canes during this Stanley Cup run and playing well.
Tonight, Caitlin Clark will be on the court with her WNBA team for the first time. The Indiana Fever will be in Dallas for a preseason game against the Wings tonight. If you'd like to watch, you'll need to subscribe to the WNBA League Pass. The Fever will open the regular season May 14th.
WNBA ticket sales for this season are rising. It's all thanks to the incoming wave of rookies. StubHub says the sales for games are up 93% compared to last season. Much of the demand comes from fans wanting to see rookies like Camila Cardoso, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark. Tickets for Indiana Fever games featuring Clark have increased over 13 times. Oh, boy. Meanwhile, the tickets to see Reese and Cardoso and the Chicago Sky have tripled in their price. And the highest ticket demand was for two-time defending champ Las Vegas with the Aces stars Asia Wilson and Kelsey Plum.
15-time major champion Tiger Woods has accepted a special exemption to play at the U.S. Open in Pinehurst in June. Woods has not played in a U.S. Open since being severely injured in a car crash in 2021. You can watch the U.S. Open on WREL. It's happening June 13th through the 16th.
Well, all brides-to-be should listen to this. A woman used ChatGPT to plan her wedding and saved more than $5,000 as well as a whole bunch of her time. Maria Cortez says her fiancé planned a beautiful Riverview ceremony with hundreds of guests ready to celebrate. It all came together thanks to an AI bot. Yeah, the program gave her detailed options for bouquets, centerpieces, decorations, so much more, eliminating the need and cost for a wedding planner and finding her deals on photographers.
Wow, she saved a lot of money. My goodness. All right, well, today we have a first look at two upcoming Netflix projects, and Nick Jonas and Paul Rudd go head-to-head. Here's Ashley Dvorkin with the Hollywood Nation.
Love the smell of karate in the afternoon.
Cobra Kai heads to the championships. Rudd faces off with Jonas, and Wright signs up for double duty in the Hollywood Nation. Robin Wright will be helming her next project. The Golden Globe winner signed on to direct and star in the Prime Video series adaptation, The Girlfriend. She will play a wife and mother whose perfect life gets turned upside down when she becomes obsessed with finding out the true identity of her son's girlfriend.
Mr. Rudd!
Paul Rudd and Nick Jonas are joining forces for an upcoming musical comedy. According to Deadline, the duo will star in Power Ballad, a film about a wedding singer and a rock star battling over a song.
Tell your mom what you're working on, kid.
His name is Eric.
Benedict Cumberbatch becomes unhinged in today's first looks. Netflix released the trailer to its upcoming miniseries, Eric. Cumberbatch plays a 1980s New York puppeteer who becomes distressed and volatile while searching for his 9-year-old son who disappeared on his way to school. The emotional thriller starts streaming May 30th.
No mercy.
The streamer also teased the sixth and final season of Cobra Kai. Picking up where season 5 left off, the final chapter follows the senseis and students preparing to compete in the Karate World Championships. The Karate Kid spin-off series will be split into 3 parts, with the first premiering July 18th, followed by the second half November 24th, and final event in 2025.
A lot of good stuff coming out. That was Ashley Dvorkin reporting there. Before we head to break, here are the winning lottery numbers. We will get another check on weather and traffic coming up next.